Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this snowy Wednesday. Hope you're having a good day, a safe day, a safe day on this Wednesday. Chase McCabe here, Big Joe on the go has joined us. Hello, JoJo.
Hey, buddy. Good morning to you, man.
Hey, good morning. I know it's kind of been a tough one for you, but glad to have you on the show.
Yeah, thank you. We had to put down our dog this morning and up all night with her, man. I if you got a dog, you know this. I mean, just love him, kiss him, hold on to him, and it's just up all night patting her head. I mean, I haven't slept in probably 36 hours, but it isn't about me. I mean, it's just if
yeah.
You say goodbye to a dog, man. It's just it just rips you apart, and you know you can't save him. You know, I tried to save her, and you can't save him. And you just anyway, just those out there, and you've lost a dog. You know exactly. I'm telling you, when my mom passed away, it was awful. But when my dog passed away about 8 years ago, it was equally as painful, and I'd never experienced that pain back to back like that. So, you know, it'll take a few days to sit around and you know and realize that she's gone, and then you know hopefully the memories come crushing in and you remember all the good times, man. But it just sucks. I mean, and God bless veterinarians who, you don't go to vet school to do this, you know, to put down somebody's dog. I mean, is there a vet playbook for this? I don't know, but God bless the vets who do this. I mean, this happens probably tens of thousands of times every single day, and to the vets and the techs and everybody that works with them, God bless you, man. You're powerful and you're loved, and your care and concern is something else. But I can't sit around. I can't sit around and look at a blanket, you know, or I'd rubber belly on, or their toy over there. I'd steal from her and hide it. I mean, you can't. I can't sit around. Yeah. So coming here and get back into the highway of life is therapeutic. And for some, it's like but for some, understand that. So.
Yeah,
I'll be better, man. But I had just to, I'd have to come into the ring. I just had to go somewhere. I just couldn't sit around.
Yeah.
So that's
no, I get it. I get it. And, you know, we obviously thoughts and prayers were with you and still with you, and we're thinking about you because you know, we were texting some last night, and I know that everything was kind of happening. But it's what's crazy is I think we hurt this much because dogs just. I mean, mine's sitting right here next to me right now. Because they just show the love. Like, you always look at them, and it's like everything they do, even though they may annoy you sometimes, Sawyer, is all love based. It's because, I mean, like, he's sitting right here because I had him put away where I could do the show, and he got out, and now he's like sitting here staring at me, like,
hey,
look,
again,
here
boy.
I am.
You're right. Every feeling you have for your animal is pure love. I mean, it's pure love that you have for them. And, you know, with friends and that, like, I remember one time he pissed me off that one time that, you know, the dog doesn't care. Or, I mean, your cat, but in this instance, the dog doesn't care that you had a bad day at work. You know, it's like, hey, man, you're home. All right, what are we doing now? So I get it, and it's just it's awful. And, you know, and there are some, you know, when you say goodbye, there are some who don't want to be in there, and that's fine. It's up to you. But, you know, I just wanted the last thing that she saw was all of us and holding her head and everything like that. But, again, God bless the vets who do this. And if you got to go through it, man, it's the quality of life thing when you know that it's just not getting any better and – nobody's going to suffer. I can't let anybody suffer. And then it's just, you know, it'll hit me hard in about a week or two again. All right, like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just, and then those are like, well, I'll never get a dog again. Yeah, don't say that because that's,
no.
That your dog that just passed would want you to show that love to another dog or cat, whatever that goes on. But, God, it just sucks, man. It just really sucks.
Here's the thing that I'm convinced of, because you said it. You know, we talked about my friend Amber having to put her dog Lucy down.
Oh, yeah. God.
Yeah, a month or so ago. And it's like you don't pick them. They pick you.
Yes.
That's generally how it works. Like, you know, Sawyer picked us. I mean, and for better or for worse, he picked us.
Right.
But that's just kind of how it is. And so, you know, people, dog owners or pet owners that have to – you know, put one down and they're like, I'll never get another one. They will, because you'll get picked again and it won't be your choice. And I truly believe God does that for a reason. So, you know, when the time's right, that is for sure. But we're obviously thinking about you. The texts are coming in. The listener, you know, Tim, saying sorry for your loss. Just know that you did everything you could and you didn't allow suffering. We don't deserve dogs. Unconditional love. Another texter says the listeners are with you, man. Love you, Big Joe. Pets are family. I know you gave her a great life. And Lenny said, so sorry to hear about your family member and buddy. So people are thinking about you, JoJo.
Well, thank you. It's, again, you know, it's not like this. Look at me. I mean, it happens. It's happening right now. I mean, it's happening all the time. And that's why we cry and hurt so much, because we loved so much. So it's just give them a good life. You know, when my other dog passed 8 or 9 years ago, a friend of mine said, look, every dog that's born is looking for a hero. Every dog that's born is looking for a hero. And you were her hero, and all she knew was love. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? All she knew was love. Amazing to go through your entire life, and all you knew was love. That's pretty strong. And I was like, all right, thank you. So when somebody, our good friend down the dial, Dawn, her dog passed the other day, and I said the same thing. I was like, Dawn, every dog's looking for a hero, you know, and you were that hero. And that dog knew only love while it was alive, and it's a beautiful thing. And I truly, and this is not me going off the deep end being psycho, I believe dogs are angels. I truly, truly believe dogs are angels, and you will not convince me otherwise. In anything that you do in life, I don't care if you're agnostic, atheist, Protestant, I don't care. You will not convince me that they are not angels. That you will not. In good times and bad, I mean, they are just there. So we'll get through it. It just, but I need to come in and be around the peeps and the people and just kind of get my mind off everything. So thank you.
Well, totally, and we're here for you. What can we do to get your mind off things? I talked about the draft and the Titans, you know, for the first hour, and John McClain was on, and we kind of got into some of that stuff. Because I've, you know, been on this theme of that they got to get this right. Got to find a player that, you know, opponents are actually afraid of, because they haven't had that since Derrick Henry.
You're right. That's a good point. We talk about, you know, dominating guys on the team who you're scared of, who intimidate you. There's not a single guy on that team last year that did that. And you got to build that back up, man. It takes a while. Well, I always often go back to 2006 when I think one of the greatest things Floyd Reese ever did was he had to rebuild that culture. 2005, he brought in VandenBosch, second chance. 2006, he brought in Kevin Mawai, Chris Hope, and David Thornton. And it changed. It changed that locker room, the culture. And that year they went 8-8. The next year they went, I think, 9-7 to playoffs. And 2008, they had a good year. Obviously, Floyd left after, 2006, I think it was. But the culture was changed. They laid a foundation there. Maybe that's what you need. Maybe you need these second, you know, Brett Kern had the thing the other day, the second chance guys who could come in here and like, all right. Or the third chance guys. You know, like you talk about Derek Barnett down in Houston. Be his third chance. I mean, from Philadelphia, the Texans, guys like that, that have some gas left in the tank, that really want something to prove. You find those. Floyd found those three, and they helped turn this team around.
What do you think of the comments that Cam Ward made? I guess this was when he got the Davey O'Brien Award on Monday night. He said, quote, okay, you're either going to draft me or you're not. If you don't draft me, that's your fault. You've got to remember, you're the same team that's got to play me for the rest of my career, and I'll remember that, end quote.
But whatever. That's fine.
I kind of like it. I mean, a little bit of cockiness, or as Trevor called it, professional confidence.
Didn't somebody else say that, too?
Caleb
Williams said, although he went number one, was like, if y'all miss on me, I'll remember who you were. I was like, oh, that's great.
I think a lot of people, I mean, Deion kind of said that, did he not? Like when he was coming out of Florida State?
Oh, you know, his thing was he's going to ask for so much money from the Falcons, they're going to have to put him on layaway.
Oh, yeah. That was a
sitting there with, Sue, what's the leggy girl's name? Oh, she's
Susie Colbert.
Not Susie, it's the other one. She's on Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel, the blonde. She's a really good reporter. She was sitting with dadgummit, Joe, I can't think right now.
Melissa Stark?
Nope. She's on Real Sports with Brian. It was on ESPN.
Oh, Andrea Kramer.
Andrea Kramer. Yes, sir. That's it. Sitting right next to him. It was just a funny line, but I don't need the bravado, man. It's like, if you draft me, I'm going to come and I'm going to work hard to win games, and that's it. I'm like, I'm going to, you know, what if he does go to a team and the first game is against whomever that they passed on me? I mean, do you want that being the talk the whole week about instead of like going out there and just playing your game and work hard to win? I don't know.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Big Joe is in the fold, and we're glad to have him here. Coming up next, though, I want to get into the Preds a little bit as they return to the ice on Saturday. We know that the Four Nations face-off final is tomorrow night between the U.S. and Canada, but some of the Predators are already back on the ice getting ready. What do we need to see out of them on this home stretch to make us feel better just about a bad season? We'll discuss that coming up next. Tim Corbin at the bottom of the hour as well, here on Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The time off, how much tinkering did you do, and maybe some things that you may want to implement when you guys do get back on the ice?
Yeah, I think you spend quite a bit of time, too much time probably. It'd be nice to turn your brain off a little bit, but I think you're sort of going back to basics a little bit. I think you're always looking to tweak and to change, and I think for the week I was just basically trying to retrace things back to, you know, last summer and you know, is there some things that I can do to tweak some things to help us down the stretch? Obviously the personnel's changed over the course of the year from the summertime, and really it's just taking a really hard look at what we do, and I think maybe there's a tweak here and there. I think for me it's we've lost a little bit of our fundamental details, and I think sometimes when there's been so many moving parts, you know, it's hard to get everybody on the same page. So I think for us in these 28 games, you know, you want to get into a little bit of everybody on the same page for one. Can we get a little better connected? Can I do a little better job helping them with their strengths and getting us in a little better spot? And I think that's kind of where you self-reflect and look to not tweak, but to maybe reemphasize some of the things that slipped in our game. I think this year, obviously with all the injuries and things that aren't going right, you're constantly plugging holes, and it was a good time to take a step back. And are you plugging too many holes and you lose a little bit of what your, you know, what your guts are, what your heart is? And that was kind of what I was trying to determine over the break.
That was Andrew Brunette yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, with the media talking about kind of resetting after the break. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game on this Wednesday. And the question now is, I mean, look, I think we've all ruled out playoffs. I mean, a miracle would have to happen. They would have to go on a tremendous run, would have to get a lot of help. You know, they've, as he said, made a lot of personnel changes. Jeremy Lozon, it came out, is going to be out for the rest of the season, 4 to 6 months, with a lower body injury. So they've lost him for the year. They had claimed Andreas England off waivers, so he'll kind of get into that spot. But I just, you know, I think you kind of have to rule out playoffs at this point. So what do you want to see moving forward? I think, you know, if we're being fair and having a real conversation, I think Andrew Brunette knows the pressure's on him as the head coach, as the one that designs this system, that it hadn't worked this year. So he's got to find a winning formula, you know, for him to stay in the fold. Now, I do kind of think he will. I think the Predators are being patient. I think that they're kind of chalking this up as it was a bad year. Let's reset and get after it next year and hope that things are going to be different. But I do think if you're Andrew Brunette, you certainly want to look at this and try and have a good showing in the last handful of games of the season.
Well, what's the marker of, all right, we're done for this year, let's look forward to 25-26? There's got to be a marker, you know, right? If you lose
– trade deadline.
Is that the marker where it's like, all right, we're done?
Yeah.
I mean –
yeah, I mean, I think
– what if you come out –
and I kind of think they're at it because it – go ahead.
No, I was going to say, if you come out of the gate and lose four straight, you're done. I mean, it's just, we like the glimmer of hope, a little positivity, yeah, man. But at the same time, if you come out of this gate and you lose two straight, I think it's done. I mean, there's got to be, then, what do you do now? Do you start maybe trading guys now? Now you're really going to trade guys? You can bring up guys from Milwaukee to play. I mean, there's this fine line that you hope you would not have to open this part of your playbook, but you have to now.
Yeah, I know, and that's what the frustrating part. And but I think what the Predators need to do, and it's, you know, not necessarily for the fan base, but what they have to do is they now have to move past the, I just can't figure out what happened, you know, why this was a bad
right.
year.
Yeah, that's
it
good
was
point.
It was, and you can't change that. All you can do is change, you know, moving forward. And I mean, look, If they come out and let's say they win like 7-8 in a row and, you know, basically go on these these streaks where they're winning a majority of their games and they just give it a run and the guys are clicking and you're seeing all these free agents that they paid for, you know, they're doing their thing and you finish the year strong and you miss the playoffs, that at least leaves a better taste. I'm not going to say it's a good taste, but a better taste in your mouth after this year going into next season that you can build upon that for next year. It, you know, gives the fan base more faith in these players. It gives the fan base and the team, you know, maybe a little more faith in Andrew Burnett moving forward. And so you just want to end on a positive note, but that's easier said than done, Joe. I mean, we know how this works. They have to do it. They actually have to go out there and do the work and hope that, you know, things are going to work out the way that they need to. And hope can be dangerous at times.
My thing, Chase, is you got that going on. What are you going to do about Soros? All right. I mean, this four nation tournament it's embarrassing. What are you going to, I mean,
yeah.
I don't know what's the line going forward. I mean, can you have Magic Ink and make that contract disappear and say, oh, we don't know what happened to it? Because doesn't it kick in next year, right?
It does. And that includes trade protection. Here's the thing on Soros. In my opinion, there's only one thing you can do. Play him. I mean, what is benching him going to do? I've heard people throw that out there of, you know, turn the keys over to Justus Onanen and use Soros in spot starts. I mean, you are stuck with him. He is your goaltender moving forward, for better or for worse. That's the plan. They're not going to trade him at the deadline. They're not going to trade him in the summer before the trade protection kicks in. It's not going to happen because, one, I don't think they would get anything, you know, because everybody's going to look at the Predators going like, well, you sign him to the deal. You're desperate. Here's a seventh-round pick. Well, you're not going to take that. Maybe it'd be a little better than that. But you got to ride it out. And so I use the analogy, and Andrew Burnett likes baseball, kind of like a pitcher that's struggling in baseball. What's the best way to get them out of a slump? You put them on the mound.
You don't want to ask me that.
I read the
baseball book.
You let them work through it.
Yeah,
that's how you get it. Yeah. I know. I'm trying here.
Let him work through it. That's it. No, I think it's a massive concern. And look, this is a guy that I'm telling you. I say it all the time with my disclaimer. Like, I love the Predators. I really don't care about hockey overall, but I love the Predators. And this guy is not playing well. Even I could see that. And the four nation tournament, and look, and I like what Hal Gill said the other day. Look, he's going against the best players in the world, right, in this tournament.
Yeah.
But also in the NHL, these guys are pretty damn good. And to see all this, they got to get him back to where he – because how do you just get bad all of a sudden? I mean, he was really, really good. And now he's like this. I just don't – that's, to me, a bigger concern.
I look, it is. But, you know, again, it's one of those concerns that – you can't really do much about, and that's the unfortunate part. But I think that Juice just has to play through it, and he's got to get help in front of him too. I'm not, and here's the thing, because so many people are quick to, like, if I make the comment, well, they didn't play great in front of him, he needs help in front of him, they take that as I'm making an excuse for Juuse Saros. I'm not making an excuse for Juuse Saros. He's got to play better too, but I can't ignore the fact that the rest of the team hadn't played well either. That, I mean, you have to acknowledge that. Now, whether they're connected, I don't know. Because there have been times where the team's played well and Soros has struggled.
Right.
So it all kind of comes back, you know. But I think both things can be true. The bottom line is the team's just got to get better. I mean, they just have to play better. And so, you know, with the last 30 games or whatever it is, you want to see them go out there and play their best. You know, the deadline's coming up. I think it's March 7th is when, you know, that, and that's kind of a good, you know, kind of gauge of, all right, yeah. It's March 7th at 2:00 Central Time. So, you know, that's kind of a good gauge of where you're at. I think we know where the Preds are at. And so there are some guys that, you know, like a Colton Sissons or you know, Michael McCarron, obviously Gus Nyquist, who scored a goal in the Four Nations. I mean, he's probably the big fish that'll be dealt with 1 year left, you know, being in the final year of his deal. So I think that, you know, they're obviously that's tough for a locker room to know that there's some guys that, you know, they're here today, they might be gone tomorrow, but that's the business part. And
right,
I think that Barry Trotz has to now look forward instead of, you know, behind and in the now and do what's best for the team in the future. And if he can get some assets by trading away some of those guys, even though it would be tough to do, a guy like Colton Sissons, who spent his whole career here, he's one of the few that have played for every head coach in Predators history.
Right.
You know, you would hate to see him go, but that's a part of it. And so, I mean, if Barry can get some assets that he can use moving forward to make this team more of a contender, then I certainly think he'll do that. Because the positive in all of this is, you know, you do have some building blocks for the now, but you certainly have some building blocks for the future. And it's rare that you can say that you have both.
They are 18 points behind in the – if you take the top eight teams in the Western Conference, 18 points behind. They have 45, and then the Vancouver's got 63. So that's nine games you got to win and hope that Vancouver loses nine games, or the Kings are 20 points ahead, or the Avalanche are 23 ahead. It's just – but you can't go to the second part now and like, we're so far behind. One game at a time. I mean, they still have – there's 28 games left? They have 54?
Yeah.
They have 28 games left?
Yeah, something like that.
So go out and just win the next one, and then win the next one after that, and win the next one after that. I know it's kind of cliche and kind of silly, but truly, that's it. You can't worry about what happens when Winnipeg plays Dallas. You can't. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens because, again, nobody saw this back in September, October. I was beating the drum of like, all right, Stanley Cup now. They got all these pieces. Man, how dumb am I?
Wes and Hermitage has he goes, like I said yesterday, food for thought. What are the chances that Smashville Live being canceled today because of the weather will carry the same weight as you two being canceled and the Preds just went out when they come back? Wishful thinking. I wish Smashville Live had that much impact, but I'm going to tell you I don't think it does. But that would be really funny if they just won out because of that. Man, we really wanted Smashville Live tonight.
Right.
Caleb says team has to score more goals would diminish some of the blow of Saros being bad right now. And that's easier said than done. And Lenny asks a fair question. Is Saros in a slump or is he just bad? That's the question.
Ooh,
I don't think he's bad. I think the question is he not the elite goalie that he needs to be to get an 8-year contract extension? I think that's the question. And that was a question that everybody was asking and we were talking about, you know, going into last year, and ultimately Barry Trotz went with him and stuck with him. And I think fans all had that hope of, well, it's the perfect, you know, you had Pekka, who was this great goaltender who will probably be in the Hall of Fame, and then UC Saros takes over, and it's just like when Aaron Rodgers took over for Brett Favre. You know, it'll be the same thing. Well, it doesn't always work that way, and the league's changed. And, you know, Saros is always going to have to battle being a smaller goaltender. So I think it is a fair question to ask, you know, is he just not the elite goaltender that everybody thought that he could be? But they'll be back at it on Saturday. Looking forward to that, and be at home, you know, for this for a little bit after the break. Coming up next, it doesn't feel like baseball weather today because of the snow on the ground, but the Commodores have gotten their season underway and off to a pretty good start. We will talk to Coach Tim Corbin, one of our favorites. He will join us coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this snowy Wednesday. The Vandy Boys season is underway and starting off 4-1 on the season. We say hello now to their coach, Tim Corbin, who joins us. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing good, Chase. How you doing?
Doing fantastic. It's good to talk to you. And look, knowing you like I know you, you know, you look at the weather. It's not baseball weather. You were supposed to play today against Air Force. It could have been very easy to play one yesterday and then, you know, cancel today, but that's not what you did. You moved the game to Monday, played Monday and Tuesday. I know it was important to you to get those games in against Air Force because before you get into a tough SEC schedule, you obviously want to take advantage of the non-conference schedule and get that competition. So how important was it to get those games in?
Yeah, it very. I mean, you hit it on the head. I mean, even coming back from Arizona on Sunday night, we knew that it was going to be trouble on Wednesday today. So we moved it up. And, you know, we don't play on Mondays. I think we played one time on Monday in my career here, which in 23 years, that's nothing. And we've never played five games in a row. So we did some things that were unusual. But at the end of it, you know, the guys want to play. So we did. We just had to rebound quick. And we had to rebound quick in conditions that were a little bit different than Arizona. But at the end of it, we won both games. And that was most important. And we got a lot of guys out there. I think that's the strength of playing five games in a row, is that you're going to get information on kids that might not play. They get an opportunity to play, more pitchers than position players. But that was that certainly was a positive thing. Our pitchers did really well the last 18 innings. It was good to see. So we're fortunate to get those games in. It was a nice couple of days, actually. It was really cold, but sun was out, and got to see some jumpers jump out of the sky. They did it on 2 days in a row, which was nice. So, you know, anytime you play the military academy, it's a great experience. Good people. They certainly have, when you say play baseball for them, it actually means play baseball, because it's probably the easiest thing that they do when they're at the military academy. So certainly eye-opening for our kids.
Obviously, you want to see, you talked about seeing guys that you know, don't get to use a lot, seeing what they could do on the field. But how much did you pay attention to five games in a row, the adversity that was thrown at your team and how they reacted, you know, whether guys were like, oh man, five in a row, or like, yep, coach, let's go out there and play. How important was it to kind of see how these guys react when it doesn't go as planned?
Yeah, I think that's always a good thing, because that really is life, right? It's, you know, you've got a schedule, and you talk about routine so much with kids, that what happens when someone shakes your routine up a little bit, and how are you going to respond to it? And I think they did well. They wanted to play. I thought their energy was really good, especially on Monday, because we got back in at about 1:30. By the time they delivered the equipment and got back to the room, it was probably 2:30. So they probably didn't get to bed till about 3:30, knowing them, and winding down. So they, you know, we started at 4:30 the next day, which means they had to be in the facility by noontime. They missed class. So, yeah, I thought they responded really well. I thought it was a good response to what was happening. I thought we pitched well. We didn't hit the ball as well as we would want to, but I think some of that had to do with the conditions. The wind, it was a stiff wind blowing in, and it was cold. So it kind of wasn't a hitter's environment for sure, but I do appreciate how they responded.
We're talking to our good friend Coach Tim Corbett on the Chase and McJoe Show. Coach, is this year 23?
It is, Joe. How about that?
Time flies, huh?
It does. I know when you
just
came.
Started.
Yeah, right. I know when you came here, and I remember the first games you talk about. Nobody's there, and it's cold. And did you make the right decision? As you reflect back on, you know, now we got another year. What's something off the field you're so proud of? I know you got the national championships. You got guys in the pros, guys that graduated. But what are you most proud of away from the diamond?
Just consistency. I think just consistency of the kids. I think how, what they're doing. You know, it's nice to win national championships, obviously. That doesn't happen. So, you know, the fact that we've been able to be in that game four times and win it twice is special. And then, you know, the big leaguers. But, you know, it's really everything else when it gets down to it. I mean, winning's important, otherwise you're not here. But I think consistency of winning inside of our program, consistency of the kids that continue to come back here and be a part of this. I mean, we had a national championship reunion in January for the 2014 team. And, you know, 30 of those kids came back, and that's 10 years ago. And they came back from all over the country. And, you know, we went to the Tennessee basketball game. That was a nice day. We won. And then, you know, we went to Hall's Steakhouse. We had a nice celebration set up. We got there at 6:30, and we didn't leave till 1:30 in the morning. And it was just like no one wanted to leave. And I think when you think about what you do in life and the effect, it's probably has more to do with, you know, you like you've heard this 100 times, but it is, it's relational. It's the connections. It's what you do, because in that reunion, we never brought up winning the national championship. No one brought up professional baseball. It was everything but that. It was all the other stories. So I know that Maggie and I, if we looked at this thing, we'd say it's just the environment that we've all been able to create and to continue. And that does speak to consistency and energy. It is tough to recreate that every year. It's very difficult. It's not easy. You have to regenerate, you know, energy yourself, but I think it's the consistency of doing all of that.
Well, one of my dear friends, his son is a pitcher on your team, Roman Patryka, is, and I've known Roman for years, and I talked to his dad, Steve, and he's like, the fact that we like where Roman is because Coach Corbin teaches outside the game of baseball. And that really struck me to hear that from a father of a kid who's going to play for you. Mm-hmm. Not about, you know, hey, hit the target or throw the splitter or whatever. It just teach you outside the game of baseball. Does that make sense? Because I tried to wrap my mind around what all that entailed, but it's basically life, right? About just what life brings at you.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I don't have sons. You know, I've got 2 daughters, and I'm a step-parent. So, you know, I look at this uniquely different because I feel like these kids are given to us. And someone like Roman, who's a young kid and who's learning right now, this is someone else's child. And when you sit in front of them and you recruit them, you know, or present your situation to them, you speak, and then you have to act on what you're speaking about. If you don't act on what you speak about, then it's hollow. And I think for me, it's always been about teaching male traits. And that's every day. I don't go without that. I just feel like there's a lot of males that are unequipped to handle themselves after they get done with sport. And mm-hmm. you don't want their whole life wrapped up in what they did here. It's well beyond that. But I think having stepdaughters, I've always said to myself, okay, if these girls were going to marry someone, how would you potentially help them and train a young male to be the most equipped young male that you can produce? And I just think that's the most special thing you can do, because I do think it certainly helps baseball. You're always on the skills of baseball, the bat, the ball, and the glove, but you can't even tap into those skills if you're not personally equipped, if you're not comfortable in your own skin, if you're insecure as a human being, you know, and if you're posturing all the time and trying to be something that you're really not. I think vulnerability and being someone you are and letting yourself go a little bit and letting people see the inner fibers of who you are as a person, I think that's how you build teams. I think that's how you build trust within a group of people. And in a day and age where academics is loosely tethered to athletics,
yes,
where, you know, 10 years ago it was, now it's not, and the color of green is the most powerful thing you have, well, you know, that doesn't have to be the thing. I'm not going to run away from that just because, you know, the question you get all the time is, what do you think of the portal? What do you think of NIL? Well, it is what it is. So we're going to operate in the way that we can to best reflect the values of the school, but more importantly, grow these kids and let them know that's not the end all to what they're doing right now.
Oh, that's so beautifully said. Real quick on this one, and you're 20, and you've got another great team. You've just great kids over there and all that. You've had them every single year. In your 23 years, is there one kid that you desperately wanted to come to Vanderbilt but went to the major league when he got drafted? I'm just curious if there's one guy you secretly wished you could have had at Vanderbilt in these 23 years.
Well, there's several, but I think Volpe, you know, because he's so new, Anthony Volpe was a kid that I really wanted here for all the right reasons, and not because he would play shortstop for us, which he would. Jack Leiter and he were from the same school. It's called the Del Barton School. And to be honest with you, initially we thought Jack was more of a risk just because, you know, they had close ties with Major League Baseball. The reality was, because Al didn't go to college and Lori, the mom, they really wanted Jack to come to college, but more importantly, Jack wanted to come to college. He turned down a lot of money to come to college. Anthony Volpe was the young kid that college, he was straight A student, was just an incredibly mature young kid, but it was school, 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 school. The underlining factor was that the family had season tickets for the New York Yankees for 20 straight years.
Wow.
And so when the Yankees called, it became a little bit different. That probably was the only team that he would have signed with. But I just, that kid, is he's just a beautiful kid. You know, like a lot of our kids, he was just very equipped for the college environment. And I thought this is where he belonged, but didn't happen. And that one hurt. That was a gut punch because I just felt like that was the right kid in the right environment.
Tim Corbin is with us. Corbs, it's always great to catch up with you. Really looking forward to the season. I know the SEC is going to be tough, but it's also going to make it fun to watch. But thanks so much for doing this today.
Yeah, thanks, Chase, Joe. I always appreciate you having me, too. Thank you, guys.
Awesome. We'll do it again soon. Corbs, Tim Corbin on with us, Vanderbilt baseball coach, as their season is underway. And 4-1 to start the year. We'll come back with what day is it and celebrity birthdays. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Chase and Big Joe here on this Wednesday, snowy Wednesday. I know Dr. Crane's going to go sledding here in just a little bit. Just make sure you wear your hat and gloves, Dr. Crane.
And when Chase rings the bell, come in at 3, okay?
All right, for my grilled cheese sandwich? All right.
Yep, and a spanking. And then
no spanking. He's been a good boy.
You can go back out after that.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate Tim Corbin for joining us. I always feel just, like, better about myself and smarter after talking to Tim Corbin.
I agree, because, you know, we grew up with baseball managers and coaches who yelled, right? They argued in pro, not college, but in pro, like Earl Weaver and Whitey Herzog. And it's all these Bobby, you know, when Bobby Cox would lose it, people would go crazy. And then you got a coach like Tim that comes in and does a different meticulous approach to the game of baseball and wildly successful. And yeah, I love talking to him. And, you know, when you tell a parent, you know, outside the game of baseball, I'm going to develop you. What, you'd be thinking, you know, I'd be like, well, what about the game up you're going to develop in baseball? And it's more than that. And he explains it so perfectly. It's like, God, I wish I could play baseball again. I was terrible, but I'd love to play for a guy like Tim Corbin.
Yeah, so would I. With that, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays. Brought to you by Jared Companies, Inc., above and beyond industry standards, the only company you'll need for commercial construction services. They also have plumbing and HVAC, all forms of HVAC units, commercial refrigeration, grease trap cleaning. Just go to JarrettCompaniesInc.com.
All right. With that, we have International Tug of War Day. I don't know if you guys have played Tug of War lately, but it's pretty fun.
Every morning.
Every.
Next, we have Iwo Jima Day. National Arabian Horse Day is next. let's see. National Boston Terrier Day. Ooh, National Chocolate Thin Mints Day.
Oh, love those me some, are good, right?
Love me some Thin Mints.
You know, if you eat Thin Mints, you don't get fat.
Really?
Because they're thin. So if you eat 100 of them, they're thin, right? Is that the way we go with?
It's like tugging on your love handles. I don't know. Let's see. National Lash Day is next. You know, those type of things, they just kind of grab at you. I don't like that. Let's see. National Veterans Girls Rise Day. So all the women that have served for our country, thank you very
much. Amen.
Let's see. Prevent Plagiarism Day to wrap it up. So, yeah.
Prevent plagiarism.
That's good.
You should.
Yeah.
It's got to be difficult now for teachers with AI, right? It's got to be so difficult. But somebody said in AI they could put some kind of something, like a watermark or something on an AI that know that you – anyway, God bless the teachers, because me would be doing AI if I'm in college, because I'm a complete loser. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. Get these within two. Our first birthday might be one of the best-looking men who've ever walked planet Earth, Smokey Robinson. Today's Smokey Robinson's birthday.
87.
83.
85. That is a push.
That is a push. Wow.
Right in the middle of all that. The great actor Jeff Daniels.
64.
65.
70.
Wow.
I mean, he was in Speed. I mean, that's how far back he goes with him. Great actor. Who else here? Seal, the singer. Seal, how old is he today?
Seal, I'm going to say, is 56.
58.
62. Benicio del Toro. Today's his birthday.
63.
65.
58. You guys are doing good. Proud of you guys today. Don't know who that is. We're going down here. Oh, Victoria Justice from the TV show Victoria. Chase, you watched that in growing up. I know Dr. Crane did. Victoria? No, wasn't Ariana Grande in that show?
Oh, I have no idea. 60.
No. She's been in some movies. She's younger. I'm going 40.
32. 60.
I have no idea who this is.
Actress Millie Bobby Brown. Millie Bobby Brown.
74.
No, that's the Stranger Things person.
Shut up.
What?
No, just... I don't know.
Goodness
gracious.
I don't
know these people.
Yeah. 20.
21. Here we go.
A name like Millie, I thought, you know, somebody's mamaw.
That's it. It's a good point there. Oh, my gosh. Guitar player Tony Iommi of Black Sabbath. One of the best guitar players, underrated of all time.
74.
65.
77. McGavick High School graduate, former news anchor, Lori Ann Crook from Crook and Chase. How old is Miss Lori Ann today?
67.
60.
68. We're tied at one. This is good. Actress Justine Bateman. Wasn't she in Family Ties with Michael J. Fox?
Mallory. 61.
58.
59. Dr. Green's up 2-1. I like this. Hold on. We got a few more here. Singer actor Haley Duff. She was in Napoleon Dynamite.
44.
51.
40. Three left to go. Dave Stewart, the owner of the Nashville Stars baseball team that's coming here in 30 years.
Dave Stewart is 67.
65.
68. We're tied at two with two to go. Roger Goodell.
The commish. Roger Goodell, I'm going to say, is 61.
63.
66. Our last birthday tied at two, and I'm going to butcher his name. Nikola Jokic for the Nuggets. Did I say his
name
correctly?
Center.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
This is it. This is for you guys are tied at two. Bring it home.
28.
29.
30. Dr. Crane at the buzzer. He wins 3-2. You won 3-1 yesterday. Good job, Dr. Crane.
Thank you.
The price is right. That was, wow. Well done. That is going to do it for us today.
Hey, thanks again to everybody who's reached out this morning on the passing of my dog. Cherish the ones who are around you. Love each other. Take care of each other. Remember the special moments and always, always let bad things get away from you. Don't let them frustrate you during the day. Love each other. Be yourself. Love God, and we love you. And just we live for another day. All right. Thanks, Chase.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD coming up next. Stay safe on the roads and in the snow. Have fun in the snow. We'll be back at it tomorrow at 9 here at 102.5, 106.3 The Game.